We'd first like to call your attention to Paul's writing to the Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 1 and 2. The Bible reads, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. The 91st Psalm, verse 11. The Bible reads, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways." For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. And supporting scripture that you've already heard in your hearing this morning, Genesis 18 and 2. "And he lift up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground." Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. On the basis of those verses this morning, we like to use a thought or subject. Be careful when you are confronted by strangers. The very one you turn down could be an angel. Be careful when you are confronted by strangers. The very one you turn down could be an angel. It feels just like church in here this morning. Amen. Amen. Anybody feel a little churchy this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like you, Brother Mingo, I need to come on out of this spot right here. Every now and then you got to come out your stall. You can't stay in there all the time. Hallelujah. I wish I felt like I think. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory, glory. But nonetheless, early in the midday hour, God gonna turn it around. Stop worrying about yourself and just worry about what I told you to do. See, sometimes you get too concerned about how you feel and forgot about who you belong to. But when I began to talk about Jesus, I get a power down on the inside that'll make you forget about all the other things that are going on in your life. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. See, it's moves like that that make me make it, man. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm happy this morning. I'm happy to be in the house of the Almighty God this morning. I'm happy because God is a mighty good God. He's a merciful God. And I'm happy because God one day looked beyond my faults, saw a need to bless my wicked soul. And I thank God for that this morning. I'm happy this morning because God has allowed us another opportunity to come. And it's by his grace and by his mercy that we are together here today to start our homecoming and our revival services. We ought to be excited about Jesus. I believe this morning that it's going to be more than just a series of services. I believe that ministry is going to take place in this house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Anybody want to be ministered to? See, there's some folk like to be entertained. There's some folk just like to be in the number, but somebody come to get a blessing. And I found out that it's good to hear good singing. It's good to hear good music, but the word to go all the way down through your problem, to get into your flesh and down in your heart. See, that's what I like about the word. It go deep. Whether you like it or whether you don't like it, it's going to go where it needs to go. And I don't care who deliver it, somebody ain't going to like it. But the Bible says his word does not go out void. It is for somebody this morning. Hallelujah. That I believe somebody in this house have been treating strangers in the wrong way. And God has sent you a message through and by me this morning. that you better be careful when you will be confronted by strangers. Because the very one that you turn down and run down, that might be your guardian angel. You never know. You never know. And as we have come together and we come this morning, we seeking God to be all that we need him to be. For as we prepare ourselves for our revival, I've already asked that we began to pray. And I hope that you were already praying. Because the Bible says men should always pray, pray without ceasing. And you don't need me to tell you we need to pray for the revival. You know what revival is all about. You know where you are. You know what you need from God. And I don't care if you're saved, sanctified, and halfway full of the Holy Ghost. We used to be full, John. But for some reason, the cup is half full now. Because we give God out what we want to do kind of service. We don't give God our all in all. We give him what we want to give him. Oh, I'm not going to sing that loud. I might get hoarse, but you talk to the top of your lung when you're talking about somebody. I'm not going to lift up my hand, but when you're watching the ball game, you're punching and you're jumping and you're hollering and you're acting a fool. But when it comes to God's house, now you know how to be decent and in order and you get yourself together. That's the wrong place to be cool. You ought to let go in God's house. You ought to be about the Father's business. When you come to God's house, it ought to be about service, worship, and praise. Not about who's here and who's not here. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're getting ready for revival. That time when we are seeking to be restored and uplifted and our souls ought to be saved. We're looking for souls to be saved this week. We're looking for people to be delivered from bondage. And that bondage could be from many different things. We have the tendency sometimes to just point out certain things that we consider worse sins. And those things are going to send us to hell. But I come to tell you this morning, the Bible declares that all unrighteousness is sin. And some of us are bound by sin. Some of us got that little thing in our mouth that can't be controlled. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. You need to be in church this week. Don't pick out what night. Every night is your night. Because if it's that hard to keep your mouth closed, you're going to need all the Jesus you can get. Anybody hear me this morning? Anybody know they need the Lord this morning? Or are you so saved and sanctified that you done got above needing God? Well, that's how some of us get. We get so holy and sanctified, we forget where we come from. We forget that we too have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We forget that we are no better than those that are walking up and down the street. We have just had a new mind, and we had a mind to let the Lord our God come in. As we come and as we share on this morning of homecoming, let us realize that it is a day of fellowship. A day when we fellowship one with another with family and friends and churches, they disregard denomination and certain churches come together just to lift up the name of Jesus. We eat a little fellowship meal and you know, I think when you talk about homecoming, I can go back to the days here at Fowles Chapel where we would have dinner after service and at every table they either had a basket or a box. Graham, you know what I'm talking about with your apple pie. That everybody knew exactly what you had in the box. We got to understand that we can't get away from our roots. Homecoming. Homecoming is that time when we come back together. I'm so glad to see y'all this morning. And I'm not surprised to see you because I was looking for you. And I don't get mad at you often, but if you had not been here today, I was going to be mad at you. Because it's homecoming. And I know you know where home is. You got to understand that you can go anywhere you want to go, live anywhere you want to, but home is always going to be home. I don't care how long you're going or how high you rise, home is still going to be home. You got to understand that that's one thing you cannot change. I am a product of home, and I thank God that I serve as God in home, in my home church. That's something to boast about because the Bible tells us that a prophet don't have no honor in his own home, but there's an every now and then. When God chooses or picks out a certain one, God can take things and turn it around. So you're looking at one that has been turned around where they said I wasn't going to make it. God showed them that we're going to make it. And Fowles Chapel tell the world we're not through yet. We're going to go even to higher heights. Because as we grow in grace, as we grow in the word of God and get beyond ourselves and trust the power of God, how can we do nothing but go higher? Homecoming, homecoming, that day when Doc would say, how can I lose with the stuff I use? Hallelujah. I hadn't forgotten none of that. I hadn't forgotten none of that. Converted told me when the Lord gets ready, you got to move. And every now and then, like today when I'm having a little bad day in my body, Tom Latimer told me that all I got to do is just call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he will take me into the prayer room. But Jesus is my doctor. Write out all of my prescriptions. Give me all of my medicine. Anybody know what room I'm going to? Anybody know what room I'm going to? You better know something about the prayer room. It's homecoming. It's homecoming. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We can turn it around, but you better go back and learn how to Amazing Grace. You better go back and know how sweet that is to trust in the power of God. Will thou not revive us again? It's up to you. You got to want to be revived. You got to want to be restricted. You got to want to be restored and refreshed. And you got to shake off those things. Everything the devil thought he took from you. You ought to have in your mind this morning that I'm going to get it back. You ain't got to wait on Scott this evening. You can get a little bit of that from me this morning. You ain't got to wait on Thomas Monday night. You can get a little bit from me this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Homecoming, homecoming. It ought to be family and friends day in here this morning. Because that's the time when the family come back together. That's the time when we share with one another. That's the time when we got an opportunity to be together. Those elders in here that remember homecoming. And I like to thank God, you know, when I was a small boy before joined Fowles Chapel, I used to tarry out to the Buncombe Baptist Church. And at homecoming, Dr. Brown used to come down every year to do their revival. And the reason he brought his family down, because that was his home church. He was doing great in the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. But when it came to homecoming time, he had to come back to Petersville. Hallelujah, Jesus. Those are the times that we was able to see our cousins. Those were the times, a lot of times, you didn't see loved ones unless somebody was dead. When you love the church, when you're committed to the church, there comes a time when you don't mind coming back. We ought to have a mind and we ought to have a love and a commitment for our church and what we think to be God, because the church lies within you. Two things that I'd like to bring to your attention this morning is strangers and angels. Most importantly, angels. Strangers are people that are strikingly unfamiliar, odd, someone that is unknown. Strangers are those people that you run up on sometime and they don't look like you look. They may not talk like you talk, but they're still somebody. We declare here at Fowles Chapel that everybody is somebody. And our ushers have been taught in the ministry of ushering that when people come through the door, don't have respect of persons. You got to understand this morning that if you are one that has respect of persons, you are going against the word of God. Whether we have it as a motto or not, everybody that comes through that door is somebody. And that somebody might even be somebody that you don't particularly like. But that does not mean that you show your flesh side when they come through those doors. You got to understand that when you're standing at that door representing God and representing the Spirit of God, you don't take self on and treat people like you would treat them out of your mind. But you began to think about the ministry that you were performing. You began to think about the fact that you were doing a work for the Lord. And when you are doing something for the Lord, that means you're going to take self out of self and ask the Lord, come in and whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'll do it. The Bible declares that if we would lean not unto our own understanding, then God would lead and direct our paths. So when God leads and directs our paths, we got to understand that when we see somebody unfamiliar, that they're just as good as we are. I wonder how many of us have looked at folk and looked down on them. Looked at folk and because they didn't have on a nice suit like you got on, you looked down on them. because their hair might have been nappy or they look like they've been out there in the world, that don't mean that we can close those doors in their face. I believe that the church stands, the doors of the church stand on welcome hinges. And it is welcome to whosoever will to come inside the door. Now, we don't want folk coming in acting any kind of way, because in God's house, you ought to do things decent and in order. And every now and then, you might get a stray to come in and act a little unorderly, but then there's a decent way to put them in order. You don't act like the world to get the world to get their attention. You got to act like a child of God. You got to act like you know something about Jesus yourself. Think about the fact that even though you're not in the condition that they're in, it hadn't been long since you were there. And you got to remember where you come from. If you had some situations in your life that wasn't easy to get over, then those people are still going through some things that they can't find it easy to get over. So we got to learn how to work with one another. We got to learn how to have more of an understanding spirit. We got to understand that we are going to be different. We are different. But as we look at the differences, we got to learn how to accept those differences. Until you diversify yourself into knowing that you can't do everything like everybody else, but you can understand their ways and the will of God. It's God's will that we love one another. Another word that I bring to your attention this morning is angels. Angels are a member of an order who are superior to human beings in power and intelligence. Angels by nature are spiritual beings that were created by God. When we look here at the writings of Hebrew 13:1 reminds us of the Jesus' last commandment when he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Love ye one another." So then Paul says here, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." God always blesses those who show hospitality. God will bless you if you treat people right. I have learned that you can have nothing, but if you learn how to treat folks, God will put somebody in your life that you don't have to worry about being hungry. If you treat people like you want to be treated, if you remember the old golden rule when we were children, and as young children, we were taught the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now Matthew writes it like this, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." So now what Jesus is saying here, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you." So the thing that you got in your mind, how folk ought to treat you, the same thing flips back on you. You got to treat folk how you want to be treated. If you go around never smiling at nobody, always criticizing folk, then what makes you think people are going to smile at you? If you go around lying on folk all the time, what makes you think people are not going to lie on you? If you say that if you call people and judge people and say that they don't have nothing because you don't like the way I shout, I don't care whether you like how I shout or not. You got to understand that this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and I thank God that the world can't take it away. Anybody in here got your own mind to love God like you want to love God? When the Spirit of the Lord get ready to move, you're going to move regardless of who you're sitting beside, regardless of what church house you're in. See, I found out that it doesn't matter whether I'm in Fowl Chapel or First Baptist, I'm still going to be John K. And if I got fire in the chapel, I ought to have fire across the hill. Some of us, we go to other folk churches and we act just like them. They're not doing nothing, we won't do nothing. They won't say nothing, we won't say nothing. Choir get up and sing their hearts out and they just sweating. Then they get frustrated because ain't nobody standing. Ain't nobody getting with them, so they want to cut it short. But you got to learn, get all that you can get out of it. You're ministering to God. Even though there are people there to hear it, your ministry goes up to God. So when you cut God short, you're cutting yourself short. I wouldn't serve a God I couldn't feel. And if you feel it, you ought to show some signs sometime. If you feel it every now and then, you ought to have something down on the inside that'll move you. Every now and then, you ought to forget about your yesterdays and thank God for your todays. See, I'm thankful that God allowed me to see this day. The Bible says, as we look here, let brotherly love continue. So it's an ongoing process. Not when you do what I say do, then I'm going to love you. But it should be an unconditional love that I love you anyway. I love you because you are my brother and sister in Christ. I love you because even though you are my enemy, the Bible tells me that I got to love my enemy. Anybody find it easy to love their enemy? I was wondering whether you were listening. You got to be careful what you say amen to. Everything come out the preacher's mouth may not be right. They picking me all the time about words I cut up. But I still say it like I feel it. Sometimes they make me mad, Markeisha. But nonetheless, I trust the God that I serve that I'm going to let go and let God have his way in my life. And you got to have that same mind. I'm not here to entertain anybody. I'm here to do what God told me to do. As I began to look through the word of God throughout the week, and I kept telling Daniel, I ain't got nothing yet. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yesterday, I still didn't have nothing yet. On the way back on the plane, that plane was shaking and rocking, and I couldn't get right. I said, let me open my Bible and start reading. Lord still wouldn't give me nothing. We got in the car in Charlotte. Danny said, Rev, you got it? He said, not yet. I might be up all night. Before daylight, I'm going to have something. There's something about serving God that'll make you a true believer. Because what I found out is that I can't get it when I want it. I got to get it when God say, there it is. See, sometimes when you try to do it your way, you miss missing the soul that God intends for you to touch. But somewhere in the middle of between 1:30 and 5 o'clock this morning, God started talking to me about the angels. Said, don't you know I got angels that are watching over you? Don't you know that your angels are there all day and all night, and all you got to do is trust in the power of God? But he said, I want you to go to Fowl's Chapel in the morning and let them know that they better be careful how they treat strangers. See, somebody in the house must not have been treating folk right. So God told me to come by and let you know, be careful how you are confronted with strangers. Because when you're confronted with strangers, just because you don't know their name, just because they're a little unfamiliar to you, you better treat them like they are somebody. You don't never know whether they're an angel or not. They'll know that sometimes they will ask you for $1 or $2, and every now and then, sometimes you give it, sometimes you don't give it. And I'm not saying that every time somebody asks you for something that you got to give an open hand. Because there are times that somebody knocks on my door and I say, you better get away from here. I'm not giving out any money today. You may as well be real. But I didn't know whether or not I was jeopardizing my blessings. Now, some folk you know are just deadbeats. Some folk you know they're just out to get you for what they know they didn't get out of you. See, there are some folk that know that you got a good heart and they'll take advantage of your good heart. So you got to try the spirit by the spirit. So I'm not saying turn everybody away, and I'm not saying give to everybody. But what I'm saying is be careful to let brotherly love continue. If you love your brother and your sister, then you got to learn how to give every now and then. If a brother stand in need and you don't give him anything that he needs, praying for him ain't going to do it all the time. Pray for me, John, but how about 10? Now that he gave me that 10, I know prayer already working. Amen. We always want God to come and do it after a while, what we might be able to do right then. It may be comical, but it is true. There are times when people approach you that you know you got it. I'm broke. Got nothing today. I come to tell you, God saw that lie. You get around the corner and you get that flat tire. Now you're going to pay out more than if I gave you that $10. Now you got to buy a new tire, y'all.
God works in a mysterious way. You cut off the church from giving God what is his. Watch your washing machine break down. Watch your dryer break down. I'm hitting home with somebody in here this morning. Somebody took God's money and bought them a new outfit. Watch the heel break on them high heels. It's revival time. Told you I'm going to get you ready. All they got to do is come and preach. Be brotherly, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. The Bible tells us, for he shall give angels charge over us. When I look here in the Word of God, the Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. As long as you're under the shadow of God, God sees and knows everything that you do. We serve a God that knows all of our motives. Those times when we say that we will do, but we have no mind to do, God knows exactly where we're coming from. But the Bible says, I will say it of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress, my God, and in him I'll trust. As long as I trust in God, I know that the Lord will make a way out of no way. But I come to tell somebody this morning to be careful when you're confronted by strangers. When you see somebody that may not look that pleasing to you, you better learn how to treat them like a brother and sister in Christ. For the Bible said this morning that there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh in thy dwelling. When you do the thing that God would have you to do. For when you give charge of the angel over your body, God will make a way out of no way. Whenever you find an angel in your midst, sometimes you don't know where the angel is. But God has a way of letting the angel be disclosed. You don't never know about what is going on in your life. But when I look back at the book of Genesis, I see a man by the name of Abraham. Abraham was a man that loved God with all of his heart. Abraham had faith in the Almighty God. When we look in the 18th chapter and the second verse, the Bible says, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, there were three men that stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, bowed himself down toward the ground. I believe Abraham tried the spirit by the spirit. Every now and then, you better know when you're confronted by a stranger that that might be an angel unawares. When they say unaware, that means that one that you may not know of. You might not know there's an angel in your midst. There might be an angel sitting on the pew beside you this morning. And I don't know whether you spoke to that angel or not, but you ought to tell that angel, good morning. The Lord is going to bless you. I know the Lord is going to bless you this morning, because God will make a way out of no way. When an angel come in your midst, you better treat that angel like he or she is somebody. I come to tell you this morning, when I look here in the Word of God, Abraham saw the angels that they stood around him. And he said, my Lord, now if I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Abraham said, look what I see in before my eyes. I see three men, and I believe that they are God sent. Every now and then, God will let an angel come in your midst. And every now and then, you recognize that that angel is there to take care of you. That angel going to watch over you through the day and through the night. That angel going to take care of every need that you might have. I thank God this morning for the angel. For the angel made a way out of no way. I want you to take the mind of Abraham. For when Abraham saw the angels in his midst, he got up and went about his father's business. For the Bible says he got a little water and he said, fetch me some water so I can wash your feet. The Bible says he put them up on the tree so they could cool down from the heat. In other words, he was showing hospitality to them. He didn't realize or did not know their name, but he realized that they were servants sent from God. The Bible says when he fetched a morsel of bread, he said, comfort your heart that when you pass by this way, I'm going to take care of you because you are a servant of the Almighty God. Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah. Said, Sarah, we got company this morning, and it's time to get in the kitchen and cook. It's time to let them know that when company stop by the house. Do you have anything that we can feed them? The Bible says they took 3 measures of fine meal and knit it and made cakes out of it. Abraham ran out into the herd and got a tender calf. Said, I got to have some meat to go with this bread. God will take care of his angel. God said, here, Abraham ran and got the calf. He brought some butter and some milk and he laid it down before them. In other words, Abraham treated them like he wanted to be treated. If you ever get in a place where you don't have much, all you got to do is trust in the power of God. And the Lord will make a way out of no way. I stopped by to tell somebody that you better watch how you treat your stranger. That stranger might be an angel this morning. And when you see that angel come for a purpose. For an angel has been commissioned by God. This angel had been commissioned by God to go to Abraham. And Abraham treated them just like somebody. So the Bible said that they weren't going to bless Abraham. Say, oh, Abraham, where is your wife Sarah? I got good news to tell you. I know you're an old man. And Sarah might be an old woman. But you're going to have a son. I got good news that come down from the Lord our God. I'm an angel sent down from God. And you're going to have a son, my God. All you got to do is trust in the power of God. But the Bible says Sarah began to laugh. She began to think that it was a joke. How can I have a child and I'm 90 years old? But God works in a mysterious way. God can take a thing when it's been closed up. For Ed Saver's womb had been closed up, but God turned it around, opened up her womb, and gave her an heir by the name of Isaac. I stopped by to tell somebody, be careful how you entertain strangers, for you might entertain angels unaware that may be down in the street. You better learn how to treat him like he's your brother. Instead of walking down on a man, instead of looking down on the man, you better learn how to reach down and extend a helping hand. Come on, my brother, I want to take you to church with me. Because in my Father's house, you will find peace and joy. In my Father's house, there is healing for your problem. In my Father's house, God has a way that's mighty sweet. I'll stop by to tell somebody that if you trust the power of God, God will make a way out of no way. You better be careful when you're confronted by a stranger. Don't shut them out. Don't push them away. Because it could be an angel unaware. There are angels lurking in the midst of us this morning. Don't run your angel away. Trust the power of the Almighty God. For God will make a way out of no way. But we have to have that mindset, just like Brother Abraham, that when the angels come in your midst, or better yet, when strangers come in your midst, treat them as if they're angels, because they could be. You never know. I love to watch the sitcom Touched by an Angel because it talks about God. It talks about helping people. And I like it every conclusion of the picture. There's this glow that the cameras put the light behind the angel to make that angel stand out, because before then, it was just a normal person. And that was an angel unawares. But when they made their identity known, I'm an angel sent from God, then the glow. When the glow comes, the person becomes a believer that angels do exist. I'm here to tell you this morning, Faust Chapel, that there are still angels. And I thank God for my angels. When you have an opportunity to see the power of God at work, then you ought to know that angels are yet still alive. All day and all night, an angel have been commissioned. And they have charge over me, over you. And as I read in the commentary last night, it says that even two angels are dispatched for each one of us. So I thank God for my angels, those that I can see and those that I cannot see. I just come back from a journey. And on that journey, God sent two angels to watch over me. When you learn to appreciate your blessings, then you can recognize your angels. As we walked the foreign street, I told my two angels, I'm so glad y'all as big as y'all are. Because we can walk anywhere we want to go. Then I said, Daniel, and I'm not worried about anybody bothering me. Those were the angels that I could see. But then when I thought about the angels that were holding them, because they can't help me unless they got the right help. I thank God for my angels. As I look around in this church house, on this homecoming Sunday morning, I see other angels. And I thank God for the angels that I see. I have some sick angels that are yet praying my strength in the Lord. And early this morning, when I got the news that one of my angels had died, I thought, no need to wonder or wish you could have been there. I can't stop death. But the death angel came. Said, suffer no more. I got excited and I jumped the point, but I want to backtrack and share this with you. The enemy, he has some angels. Be careful, because those angels are out to destroy you. And that's why I say, try the spirit. By the Spirit, you will know your real angels, because you can feel it. Can anybody feel it? The angels have charge over us this morning.